On the last License to Parent, we talked about how political correctness, among other things, has intimidated many Americans, causing them to overlook the obvious and, in many cases, to ignore the obvious. This is reminiscent of the crowds regaling the emperor's new clothes when really there were no new clothes worth regaling at all. Today we're continuing a conversation with our guest, Samia Johnson, about the religion of Islam and how these Muslims are moving into America. Stay tuned, we're preparing our kids for a nation of Muslims today on License to Parent. Welcome to License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program helping teens in crisis, located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Rich Rosald, here with the host of License to Parent, Trace Embry. And Trace, we are going to pick up right where we left off on last week's program, talking with our guest, Samia Johnson, about how we as Christians in America can confront and deal with our Muslim neighbors who are moving in and how best to guide and protect our kids in that regard.
Yeah, because it's coming, Rich. And we have to plug this into the equation when we're raising our kids. It's not like you're just raising your kids in a neighborhood where everyone, you know, is basically of the same race and faith. And, you know, this is a different world. And with Islam on the horizon, we better be preparing for that.
Absolutely. Well, Samia Johnson, we hope, is going to help us with that preparation. For those who didn't hear last week's program, let me give a brief background on Samia. She was born into a Christian family in Beirut, Lebanon. So she grew up amidst the Lebanon Civil War, as a matter of fact. She and her family suffered quite a number of losses, which left her embittered and terrorized. Now, God dealt with her brokenness. Eventually, she was able to forgive and even love the Muslims, who were considered intolerable enemies in her community. Through her ministry, Call of Love, she has since led many Muslims from all over the Arabic world to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and has also helped disciple them as followers of Christ.
And Samia, welcome back to License to Parent.
Thank you for having me.
And so, in light of what I just said, are most Muslims simply here to get ahead and assimilate into the American way of life, or are they here to aggressively transform America into a Muslim state, as was your experience in Lebanon, right?
Yes, the truth, which is a sad truth, is most Muslims come here not to assimilate. They are taught in their countries and here not to assimilate, not to be part of a new culture. If the new culture is not Islamic, it's not Sharia law, it does not follow the Quran, then this is the land of the infidels. Mm. And they need to change it so that it will become the land of Islam. When Muslims come here, they try to stick together, they try to take what they choose from this country, whether it's education, good jobs, good homes, but they do not want to melt. America is a melting pot, right, but not for Muslims.
Yeah. Last program, you talked about Muhammad's strategy to take Jews and Christians in the prosperity that they had provided in their particular cultures and take advantage of that. Do you see that happening again here in America, where we've in years past have been the land of milk and honey from a Christian, Judeo-Christian work ethic, free enterprise system? Are they going to come here and expecting to piggyback on that prosperity and use us, abuse us, and then discard us?
It's not use us, abuse us, and discard us. Use us, abuse us, and control us.
Okay.
And eventually control the country. And yes, 100%, because according to Islamic theologies, anything that a Christian or a Jew owns is halal or rightful to the Muslim. They have the right to take it from you, to snatch it from you, to steal it from you, or do anything possible so that this wealth goes back to Islam. They believe that Islam is the final and best religion, and all people should convert to Islam. If they don't, then they need to be the weak ones, and the Muslims need to be the rich, strong ones controlling any and every country they live in.
Well, I want this program to wake Christian parents up to what I understand is happening. I think you may agree. There has been a lot of talk about the Islamic training facilities, terrorist training facilities here in America. In fact, credible sources tell me there's a compound within jogging distance of our studio right now.
Yes.
Here in rural northeast Georgia. What can you tell us about this?
The reality is they are here. And let me point out one important thing. Although we may look at the Muslim population here as a minority, which is maybe 10 to 15 million, so maximum 3%, but the fact is when Muslims are 10 to 15% of the population of the country, they usually take over that country and Sharia law becomes the law of the land, and the government is under their control. Because it's not the numbers that speak here, the population numbers, it's the influence, how active they are, 100% they are bought on that idea that Islam needs to control this country. It's their mission.
Well, if you're holding the microphone, if those minority numbers are in the right places, then they always have and always will control the masses. That's just how things are. I mean, look at the homosexual agenda. Look what they've accomplished in a very short period of time, relatively speaking. I'll leave that be, but I feel I need to ask this question while we have you here on the broadcast, which isn't necessarily a parenting question per se, but I think it reveals some of the short-sightedness of our government and the naivety of the American people that parents, when raising their kids, need to take into consideration, particularly when they go to vote. And here it is. Our government is looking to allow Iran nuclear capabilities. Now, in a nation that's predominantly Islamic, why would we do that? Isn't there a liability that even if the current regime is a bunch of moderate guys, nice guys, the next one may not be. But the damage is already done. The nuclear capabilities are there. And when their homegrown terrorists come on the scene and take over the government, now they've got nuclear capabilities to wipe us out. Where am I going wrong? Am I thinking there?
I think what I agree with you 100%. What we are not aware of, or we don't want to learn about Muslims, whether it's Iran, whether it's Saudi Arabia, any Islamic country, any Muslim leader, Muslims are allowed to lie. Mm-hmm. It is allowed by Allah if they are doing peace treaties with the enemy, if they are at war for reconciliation or for anything that will do good for the expansion of Islam. We are not aware of that. If we know this truth, then I think we will act differently. And I wouldn't put my hand and write or sign an agreement with anyone who follows Islam, because they are allowed to do it, and the penalty for them to lie is only to feed 10 people for maybe 30 days or to fast for 3 days. This is what they have to do just because they lied in the land of the enemy or to sign a peace treaty with an infidel. And what we need to tell our children is to bring back this courage that we should have as Christians. Jesus was courageous, was out there, he spoke the truth, he named things as they were. He wasn't a tolerant, politically correct person.
Right.
He loved the sinners, but he hated sin. And I think we're having a problem in the church today in America to name things as they are.
Yeah.
Whether it's with regards to Muslims, whether it's with regards to any other things that are taught in our schools that are against the Bible.
Well, again, this is going to be a difficult question, but I've noticed a lot of people of Mideastern descent overwhelming the transportation, the hospitality industries, gas stations, airlines, taxis, buses, hotels. What is going on here? I suspect, and I've talked to people who, I think are in the know here, there's going to be a time when a switch gets flipped and they say, okay, it's time to go ahead and move things into overdrive. I don't think our American people, because of political correctness, will even address this. Can you give me your take on this?
Yes. I think when it first started, immigrants who came here, even when they were educated, they were engineers or teachers in their countries, because of not having a good language, they had to work in the service industry, as you said, the taxi drivers, the gas stations, all these things, and they love to have their own business.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just here take a break from all this and say that 90% of the Muslims who come to this country, they're cultural Muslims, they're looking for a better way of life, and a lot of them has rejected Islam, and they're looking for the truth. So we have to take this opportunity so that we can reach them in the grocery stores and gas stations and taxi drivers. I know one radio host who, when he heard from me that it would be great to pray with our Muslim friends and any Muslim we meet, he started doing this with the taxi drivers in Chicago every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he had never had one Muslim taxi driver who would be angry or tell him, no, I don't want to pray with you. The taxi driver usually, he would look back, extend his hand to this Christian man and tell him, please pray for me and for my family. So we have to keep this in focus because
sure.
this is the only way we can win this. Now, I'm not saying that ISIS or terrorist groups in the U.S. are not using these means as an undercover way to, Islamize this country.
Right.
This could be true as well. But if we are proactive, if we take the first steps, we can win this. There's only 10 to 15 million Muslims in this country. So this means for every Muslim, there's four true Christ believers who have the responsibility to reach this Muslim woman, to reach this Muslim man. For every mosque, if we have 3,000 mosques in this country, we have at least 10 true Christ-believing churches who need to build bridges
yeah.
and reach the Muslims of this mosque. This is our responsibility.
Every Muslim that I've ever met or heard a story about that has converted to Christianity has converted because of the love that they experienced by the Christian community. And
yes.
I think you bring up a real good point.
I know that Matthew 10:16 says, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise
yes.
as serpents and innocent as doves. And I think this is what you are alluding to, Sami, that we must be shrewd, we must be careful and wise, but at the same time, what has God called us to do? That share the love of Christ with those around us, so we shouldn't be living in fear. We should be going out recognizing that we may be even entering enemy territory, but we need to do so with love and compassion and try to share that with those around us.
Amen.
Amen. You summarized it perfectly.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
He's a trained professional.
Our guest today on Licensed to Parent is Samia Johnson. She is author of the book, The Simple Truth, The Quran and the Bible Side by Side, which would be an excellent resource if you'd like to find out more about how to share this love with people of a differing faith. You can find that book and other resources and learn more about her outreach to the Muslim world at Call of Love Ministries website, which is calloflove.org. We have to pause briefly. We'll be back with more conversation on Licensed to Parent right after this. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. And Trace Embry and I have the pleasure of speaking once again with a guest who was on the program last week, Samia Johnson. She has a very distinctive ministry to the Muslim world. It's called Call of Love. You can find it at calloflove.org. And I mentioned her book, The Simple Truth, The Quran and the Bible Side by Side. And Sami, you were telling us during the break that that really would be a great resource for training our kids, because day by day you can go through a small part of it and learn more about your faith, but also gain in discernment about what you may be hearing about Islam. Can you explain a little bit more about what one would find in The Simple Truth?
Yes, when I wrote The Simple Truth, that was last year, I had our young kids in mind, middle school, high school, even, you know, fifth grade as well, because I wanted something that would be in the hands of the parents. They can simply read it, and it explains itself. There are additional references from the Bible, the Quran in the back. So nothing is made up. Nothing is subjective. Everything is objective. So there's 60 subjects about what the Bible teaches us: marriage, prayer, fasting, even pilgrimage, so many things. Who is Jesus? So when they open a page, there's one item. They will read one verse of the Bible, four bullet points. But at the same time, on this page, it tells them what Islam teaches from the Quran about this. Mm. What does it teach about God? Who He is? Who Allah is? What marriage is? How do they pray? So within 60 days, or if you want to spread it out, it could be 3-4 months, you can help your child and prepare them so that when they are taught about Islam in our schools and in colleges, they would be ready. And also, if we want them to befriend Muslims, if they go and visit that family who is a Muslim, they would not be impacted by anything that is misrepresented about Islam from the Muslim family, that they water it down and make it look so similar to Christianity.
I can tell you how I came to faith in Christ is, kind of like Romans 1, I just kind of looked around and realized that there was a creative order to the universe. And I just cried out to whatever God was out there. And I said, please reveal to me the truth about who you are. And I've talked to a lot of people who have come to Christ that way. I'm just wondering if the folks who claim to be Muslims, if they've ever done that, if they've ever cried out and said, tell me exactly who you are. But if their God isn't a personal God, will they ever get an answer?
Believe me, in every testimony you hear from Muslims who have accepted Jesus, that was the first step for them. They have found out when they read the Quran to try to understand it, that this Allah they've been following, He's fake, He's impersonal, He doesn't answer any prayers, He doesn't love them. And then suddenly they were looking for the true God. Who created this world? Who is this God who created me like this, who understands me? And after crying out, some of them for months, some of them for years, until they were ready, the Lord intervened, either through a vision or dream, or through a Christian who pointed them to the Lord Jesus or through reading the Bible.
Yeah.
So this craving in us that the God put, that we know deep down inside there is a true living God who cares for us and that we need to worship Him. He is the one who wants to have a true relationship with us.
Amen. Listen, are there any is there any truth to all the stories of Muslims having dreams about Jesus and coming to Christ through dreams? Is there any truth to that?
In almost every other testimony, there's either a vision or a dream. And I'll tell you why. It's because they're living in so much oppression and the bondage is so strong that God himself needs to intervene with his mm-hmm. power
sure.
to reveal himself or to give them the courage to take the next step and accept him. Because they will be paying a huge price when they leave Islam. That's why God intervenes. He is still revealing himself in visions and dreams.
It's an extra dose of grace they get, I believe.
It is. It is. And I always say to our churches, because we have the Bible, we have the freedom, we have the churches, God does not do this day in, day out with us. But yeah. in closed countries, in oppressed regimes and religions, God is doing it not only among Muslims, but Buddhists and dark places like Africa.
God is so wonderful that he dispenses the right amount of grace and faith to where his will gets accomplished. Now, I just saw in the news that more and more schools are no longer giving Christmas or Easter breaks because of Muslim groups that want off for their holidays. What are your thoughts on that, and how should Christian parents be responding to this?
That is so sad. I think what this country did not do right is when we opened our doors to immigrants, we didn't pre-plan what changes this will do to the fabric of our communities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we should think about this.
Yeah.
If we're accepting people from other nations and other religions, we need to have, guidelines, maybe for our schools, for everything in our communities, just to help these people feel respected and accepted, but not to take away from the people who have already been here for hundreds of years.
Yeah, our Christian heritage.
Our Christian heritage. Instead of taking this from our kids, why don't we honor other religions and say, okay, you're allowed to not come during a celebration and we'll help you make up for it, homework or test or anything else, instead of taking off our heritage and everything that this country is about, which is the foundations that are taken from the Word of God, the Bible.
Everything we benefit as people today, we benefit because of our Judeo-Christian ethic, our Christian forefathers, the Constitution that was based upon biblical principles, Old and New Testament, and when other cultures and ideologies come in, they need to, as we used to be a melting pot, like you said,
yeah.
assimilate to what made this nation a success.
Yeah,
you want freedom of religion? If you want to be an atheist, that's fine and dandy, but don't force upon the governmental systems in place a change that panders to the vast minority and bring the bar down. That's just my take on it.
When I was a child, we actually did have a policy very similar to what Sami was just mentioning, which is, you know, if you are not of the Christian faith, which we were taking all the Christian holidays, but you could still take your holidays. Now, I remember as a young boy asking my parents if we could become Jewish because they got a lot more holidays than we did. My parents did not go along with that. But nonetheless, I mean, we tended to have the mindset that you were just describing as well, Trace. Our time is almost up. I have a closing question for you, Samia. Other than, well, I guess it would take a miracle, as all salvation does, the miracle of intervention from the Holy Spirit. But do you see there being a chance of changing a radical Muslim or bringing a radical Muslim over to Christianity? And I know that's largely at the heart of your ministry.
Oh, this is a question that's close to my heart because Day in and day out, we see radical Muslims who are coming to know the Lord.
Let's
remember that these radical Muslims are like Saul, who was going to Syria to kill Christians, right?
Right.
And then God appeared to him because God knew this person would bring so much glory and expand Christianity and the Christian faith. Mm. What is happening is when these radical Muslims are accepting the Lord, they are on fire for the Lord, and they are reaching their communities and their families. It is not impossible. It is happening day in and day out. We should not listen to the media only. We should listen to Christian news, be in connections with Christian ministries who are reaching Muslims, who know about what God is doing behind the scenes, behind the wars, behind ISIS, how Muslims are leaving Islam because of the truth they are finding out from ISIS, from Al-Qaeda about their religion. And they are saying, we reject this. If this is Allah of Islam, we will not follow him. And they're searching for the true God, and Jesus is revealing himself to him. So we need to take heart and to courageously reach our Muslim friends, love them to Jesus, especially during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Let us go with a tray of cookies and welcome them into our neighborhood. Give them the Jesus film. Tell them, we want to give you the most valuable thing in our lives, the eternal hope. We want to share him with you. Would you be willing? And let's continue the conversation with them.
Amen.
And by the way, I'll give you my address if you're bringing trays of cookies around.
Amen. I'll bring baklava. This is what I bring.
That's great. Samia Johnson is our guest today, author of the book we were discussing just a moment ago, The Simple Truth, The Quran and the Bible Side by Side. You can find her book, her resources, find out more about her ministry to the Muslim world at calloflove.org. And Samia, I presume if people would like to even get involved with your ministry, they can find out how to do that at that website as well?
Yes, they can donate. They can become volunteers if they want me to come and give a seminar in the churches. I would be more than happy to do that so that we can learn from each other and encourage each other.
Wonderful. And Samia brings cookies, so that's good to remember as well. Thanks so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
It is always a joy to talk with you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us today on License to Parent, part two of our conversation with Samia Johnson. License to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. We're a year-long Christ-centered residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. And you can find out more about it at licensedtoparent.org. Finally, please remember that our residential ministry to teens and this broadcast outreach to parents does cost a bit of money. And during these holidays, when you may be possibly spending time with your family, please remember the kids and the folks here at Shepherd's Hill may not be celebrating Christmas as normal. There are a lot of families out there who are suffering. There are a lot of families who need our help, but we simply can't reach out to all of them due to limited space and limited resources. You, however, can help change that. If you could help defray some of the costs of providing care through a tax-deductible donation of any size, we would be so very grateful. You can give securely online at licensedtoparent.org. For Trey Sembry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.